lost in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Welcome, everyone, to a Thursday here on Spouting Off on 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM in the great live free or die state of New Hampshire. Well, we have a guest holding on the line, and we're going to get to him almost immediately. I have a comment on the news that I just heard. I just gotta spout off about it a little bit. So we heard that Marjorie Taylor Greene was bringing up the idea of a national divorce, and the phenomenally unpopular Liz Cheney is telling everybody there's another word for that, secession, and the newsreader said that's unconstitutional. It ain't unconstitutional. States are not states by force. They're states because they agreed to be among the United States of America. My comment here, and I'll probably either write about it or go into greater detail in future programs, is that the people on both sides of the aisle, and that doesn't mean I'm advocating secession anywhere, but the people on both sides of the aisle that were appalled by Marjorie Taylor Greene's suggestion of a national divorce don't seem to be appalled by the rise of communism in America. I ask you, which is worse, the rise of communism or, oh no, we can't have states seceding? And what did Democrats say is the reason? Because you're going to want all our federal money to keep you tied to us, bribery, welfare, government dependency. That doesn't mean I'm advocating any such thing. But the rise of communism includes the rise of the use of force, that no longer do we fundamentally agree as a country that the use of force, other than in protecting our rights, yes, there are exceptions to that rule, is a bad thing, and that individual choice and responsibility is a good thing. Well, okay, enough said there. I have a guest that I have known. I have known him for a little while. He has a show on the Right America Media called Stage Right. He is a colorful character, and he is a playwright, among other things. He earned his PhD in English with drama as a specialty from Ohio State University. He's also the founder and president of Stage Right Theatrics, a nonprofit tax-exempt corporation that promotes natural theater. That means he actually does plays and writes them with a conservative, traditional kind of approach, something you don't see much in the theater. He's also a contributor to the Epoch Times, which is a sponsor of ours, where his articles have been published. He's a connoisseur of parrots, oh my goodness, and an avid New York Yankee fan. Robert Cooperman joins us right now on Spouting Off. Hi, Robert. How you doing?
Karen, always a pleasure to be here. You are such a rabble-rouser.
Well, I don't know. That's what they tell me. I don't know. But I called you to be on my program, and I hope to have you in future programs, because I got to thinking about the profound amount of assault that is going on in our culture. And we see it in entertainment. We've seen the elevation and celebration of the worst possible values, the Grammys, case in point, as opposed to once upon a time, not so long ago, when you and I were younger, most of America agreed in certain fundamental basic principles like honor, integrity, personal responsibility, individualism, freedom of choice, moral turpitude, if you want to call it that, the difference between right and wrong, parents that are teaching their kids right and wrong. And today we have a Hollywood and entertainment, Broadway, and so much more that elevates the reverse. So I called you in to talk about this because here's the bottom line for me. If we see these values under attack, we must remind ourselves, all of us, what American values used to be like, and entertainment used to profess those values. Okay, so first off, I'm going to just give you a chance to speak on that, and then we can go into maybe greater detail on things that we think are uplifting more in specific.
Well, you know, first of all, of course, I agree with you 100%. There has been a systemic attack on American values. And you listed a number of very good values there, absolutely, integrity, individualism, etc. The attack also is on the institutions that this country either created, meaning a government, a republic, you know, for the people, by the people, etc., but also those institutions that were already in place that supports that government. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the school. And government itself. So this is a multi-pronged attack against the institutions that define America and the individual traits that we, as you said, all once possessed, or at least we all agreed these were the things to aspire to if we didn't have them in practice in our own lives. Yeah. So, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more.
You're so articulate, though, because you are, after all, a wordsmith and a playwright.
I talk good.
Well, and another thing that inspired me that I got to talking to you about was my husband had heard about a movie, and it turns out that one of my producers and your producer, who we know and love, Juan mm-hmm. Gaud, had already seen the movie. It's called mm-hmm. Devotion. Now, you may not have heard of it, but it's what sparked my interest in supporting, elevating, cheering, celebrating movies that defy this false narrative that America is a racist country, America is an evil, terrible country, that criminals are good guys and law-abiding citizens who've been victimized by criminals are actually the perpetrators. Right. And very, very briefly, Devotion is based on a true story in which two pilots, these are fighter pilots at the very beginning of the Korean War, and both of them exemplify honor, integrity, and the white guy turns out to be a hero. He is a champion of a black fighter pilot, and what does the black fighter pilot do? He distrusts his friend at first, but he also tells him he doesn't want to be condescended to. And so he is not interested in being a victim. He is a proud, accomplished fighter pilot. And I was amazed that this movie came out in 2022, but it's based on a true story. It is just one example of the kind of films that we ought to support and remind ourselves that even in pre-Korean War, which we're talking about the 50s, in which there was true rampant racism, there were acts of honor and fortitude, people helping each other. When do you see that today? When do you see the media ever extol those values? Never. Your thoughts on that, and maybe you have a movie or a film or something that exemplifies what I'm talking about.
Well, my thoughts are, the fact that the white guy turns out to be a hero is an anathema to the media and the entertainment complex today. I mean, that would be immediate calls for a proof of white supremacy. I mean, the hero over the black man. But I think you're right in that they should be paying a lot more attention or equal attention to the black man who refuses to be victimized, because that's all you see today is, I'm not saying just for black people, but, you know, victimization somehow
or
has
to
been
see
elevated.
Himself as a victim, to constantly view himself as nothing more than a victim. Right.
And it's we must all go see this film then, because I want to see it. And of course, you know, the media will thumb its nose at something like this and find all kinds of insidious concerns with it. Like we said, the white supremacy thing or something like that. But, you know, you would think that something like this would be a great example for, let's say, young black people watching this kind of a person. And, and you know, it's got to be a lot better than the values that rap music gives you. So as far as, you know, when you and I had that conversation, I was thinking about a television show that I watch religiously. It's on PBS, and it's a British show, and it's called All Creatures Great and Small. And they have done this before. They had made a miniseries of it years ago, but there's a new one. And, you know, it's a contemporary miniseries that is promoting just these simple values of honesty, integrity, family. You know, there's no gratuitous sex. There's no, you know, there's no one's falling apart because of alcoholism. It's not Pollyanna. They have their problems. And in the last episode that I saw, which is the last of their season, they were talking about the advance and the declaration of World War II and the effect it has on this population. And, you know, the character of James Herriot, if you're familiar with All Creatures Great and Small, they are based on the books of James Herriot, which was a pseudonym of a veterinarian in the English countryside. And they're beautiful books. And but his character in the last episode goes off to war because he feels it's his duty to defend.
Unheard of, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
And so just absolutely love it. I think it's a feel good thing, but not in a Pollyanna way, you know?
Good.
It's everything gets
You hear that music. But we got to take a break.
Yes.
And I'm delighted to have you stay with us for one more segment in which we can talk about great values in Hollywood and New York entertainment, in entertainment in general.
Right.
I have Robert Cooperman with us. We'll be right back on Spouting Off right after this.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Share Healthcare. How can I help?
I missed the deadline.
What deadline?
The healthcare deadline. I'm locked out.
We don't have any deadlines at Share Healthcare. You can enroll with us at any time.
Oh, but can I afford it?
Share Healthcare programs start at $149 a month.
Less than $5 a day. Can I keep my doctor?
Absolutely. Pick your own doctor and hospital.
Amazing. How do I join?
Just visit sharehealthcare.com.
Sharehealthcare.com.
Karen Cataline got her parents to name her Karen before she was born, so she could grow up to be a punchline. Now here's more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
In the Caribbean is what that sounds like. Cool music there, producer Art. We appreciate it. I'm so pleased to have with us for one more segment Robert Cooperman, who's joining us here. He is the producer and head of Stage Right Productions. He does conservative theater. He has a show on Right America Media called none other than Stage Right. Thanks for staying with us, Robert. We so appreciate your time.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, so one of the things we have in common, as well as loving theater, enjoying words, doing radio, is we happen to be MOTs. And for those who don't know, that's members of the tribe. We're both Jewish, and so that's kind of rare. Jewish conservatives were a little bit like unicorns. And I can't tell you how many people have told me that Blazing Saddles is their favorite movie of all time. It's one of my husband's favorite movies, and he's not Jewish. And they all agree that Blazing Saddles could never be made today.
Correct.
Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely not. The fact that you've got those kind of racial overtones in that and making fun of race and you know, Brooks is not afraid to make fun of homosexuality. It clearly couldn't be. I mean, he can be completely canceled today if he tried to make a movie like that. And I think that, quite honestly, I think something like that would make Mel Brooks miserable because he was, you know, a comedy writer in the 1950s in the golden age of television, where first of all, they poke fun at things we will not poke fun at today. Like, for example, Jackie Gleason's wake on The Honeymooners. I mean, we won't do it, all right? Because then we'd be fat shaming. but he was addressing his audience in such an intelligent way. He would give he and people like him, you know, the Larry Gelbarts and the Sid Caesars and people like that, and all those wonderful shows of the Golden Age, they would take for granted that the audience had a modicum of intelligence and understood when things were a joke, when things were serious. Today, there's no joking anymore. It's all serious and offensive. People have been lamenting the loss of comedy today.
That's true. Not only that, but I have read a lot about Mel Brooks, and he's still alive, still kicking. He's about 97, 96 years old. He was always a Hollywood liberal, as most of the Jews and the comics and the comedy writers were. They're Hollywood liberals. Mel Brooks made Blazing Saddles as a comment against racism, and yet that movie, if you watch it on AMC, is about 20 minutes long because they've cut it to shreds. you can't watch it the way he made it. And furthermore, when Mel Brooks was asked what was the best way to fight something like Jew hatred, racism, and whatever, he said it was to mock it. One of the greatest anti anti-Semitism movies and ideas was the producers, in which they had a song called Springtime for Hitler. I mean, it was hilarious. It is amazing, and yet it's not, that people who, they say the left always eats itself, you know? They'll even eat their own liberals when the liberals are commenting against racism, and now an anti-racist movie is now racist because it utters a word without the proper context. It's just a comment on just how crazy things have become.
They sure have.
Robert, let's not miss the opportunity to talk about your theater group, what you do, what you have coming up. That doesn't mean the interview's over, but I'm always rushed at the end, and I want to give you plenty of time to talk about, for our audience, what it is you do and how you've been able to combine your love of theater and your principles.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Stage Right Theatrics has been around for, now it's in its seventh year. So we're not going anywhere as much as people in the theater community, in our local theater community, which is Columbus, Ohio. As much as they would love to see me go away, I'm not. We produce I'm not. And you know what? I not only am I not in the local theater community, I'm actually now the treasurer of something called the Central Ohio Theater Roundtable. So I'm on the executive committee. You know, like it or not, Robert Koopman.
You're breaking up, Robert. Can you go near a window?
I am near a window.
Okay,
breaking
good.
Because
I don't want to miss any of your words. So they don't like you in the theater community, but you are in, you're on the board.
I'm on the board of the theater consortium here, the Central Ohio Theater Roundtable. So that's what we do, is we produce plays that have, if you will, for lack of a better term, a conservative point of view. And I have translated that and massaged that enough to call it what I call the natural theater. And the natural theater produces plays that are based in human nature and also are part and parcel of the things that the founders of this country proclaimed as being important. That is, a lot of the things that you mentioned in the first segment, individualism, accountability, reason, and the plays that we produce, when they're really truly plays that are of the natural theater strain, they end up with some hope and redemption, even in death, even in terrible circumstances. Because I'm not producing Pollyanna, and we don't come out and wave the flag and sing patriotic songs afterwards. We present life as it truly is, we think, you know, and there's always the sense of hope. And there's always a sense that we can learn something from the goings-on stage. And we have protagonists who are not victims, who don't.
Could you repeat that? Oh, gosh. We're losing them. Darn.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Every once in a while. You were great for a while. Protagonists who aren't victims. Right. Let me get you to give us an example, because this is absolutely enticing to hear about an example in theater. And we, you know, all conservatives must do more in the arts and entertainment to counteract this brainwashing that's going on in the mass media. You talked about redemption. And I hope we don't lose you. Could you talk about, given a good example of something in one of the plays that you recently did that showed redemption and had a message of redemption? Because, boy, we need that, don't we?
Do we need it. We did a play called Meaning, just a simple one-word title, Meaning. And this play was about a person who was trying to be a college professor. He wanted to impart knowledge on his students. That's all he cared about. He wasn't interested in ridiculous research. And he And he just finds himself so frustrated by what the university is producing and how it seems to, you know, it won't accept his values, that rather than shrink away and call himself a victim, he literally goes in fully armed and tries to battle them as knights of old did. And at the end, he's carried off the way, say, a knight would be in battle. He's carried off to the steady drumbeat, you know, on the battlefield. But he's learned that that the values he fought for are valuable, are still worthy. They are worthy, and they are, and there's hope in people who will, not literally, but take up arms against and bad education. And he can live his life knowing that he made an attempt, that he did something. Right. So that's, and I picked that play because I wrote it.
That is wonderful. And I remember that. I want to take a detour for a minute because you talked about victims and we are not victims, you know? And then, you know, the social worker in me, I'm a member of many groups that are notoriously liberal.
Right.
Not just Jews, but women, social workers, former New Yorkers, all of that. The interesting thing is when conservatives rail against being a victim, I want to get your take, and this is kind of out of, well, not left field, right field, shall we say.
Right, very good.
That, you know, everyday Americans are being victimized. We are being victimized by having an agenda, a nihilistic agenda of hating America, hating ourselves, hating life. You know, there is a disrespect for life, not just before the womb, but elderly people, people who are sick or infirmed or all of it. There is this change in values that are now being pushed down our throats. Force is being employed. A lot of things that you and I know are very concerned about. I just wanted to mention that on the one hand, you could rail against being a victim, but you also got to know when you are intentionally, you are being victimized with an agenda that you didn't ask for or vote for. A case in point is, you know, the World Economic Forum. They're going to decide for us our lives. They're going to tell us what we can drive or whether we can live or die. They're in charge. That's victimizing other people. And I just want to get your thoughts, which is a little off the beaten track from entertainment, but go for it.
That's okay. My thoughts are, you're right. We are victimized. Listen, there's nobody more victimized in the arts than the conservative artist. And there's nobody more marginalized. However, if your life is consumed by the label victim, which actually serves to diminish you, if you are claiming victimhood and, you know, are somewhat proud of it and make that the reason why you have not succeeded, then I think that's where the problem is. And I think that's the difference, because people on the left love victimization and they love to brand themselves victims and they love to use victimization as a scapegoat for their own inadequacies.
And they're competing.
Yes.
Who can be the greater victim?
Victim.
Oh, no, me. I'm the greater victim. And now you have levels of victimhood and levels of protected groups. I couldn't agree with you more. And you put it very, very well.
Thank you.
It's just interesting that sometimes conservatives forget that they are when parents are called domestic terrorists for standing up. You're losing me?
I'm sorry. I kind of losing you, but now, okay, I think I got it.
All right. We're almost done here. We got 4 minutes. When parents are being labeled domestic terrorists for being against critical race theory and pornography on their library school shelves, that's being victimized. Okay?
Absolutely.
That is my only point. We have about, you're so much fun to talk to, and I want to do more of this to talk about great values in entertainment. I have become a fan of 40s, 50s, and early 60s movies, movies I never saw, that always had values in which the good guy was a good guy. He wasn't being, people didn't get away with crimes. Movies today, they're not only glorify violence and phenomenal amounts of sex, and I'm no prude, but they constantly put out values that say that getting away with crime is a good thing. And the worst you can, and there's the bad guy, and then there's the worst guy, and you get to cheer for the bad guy. I mean, it's preposterous. You
know? It is preposterous. Yeah, it is preposterous.
Let's take the last couple minutes, and I'll have you back, to talk about how people all over the country can participate in Stage Right Theatrics. You don't even have to live in Columbus, Ohio.
No, you do not. And ironically, when the pandemic came, we were forced, if we were planning to perform, we were forced to live stream our productions. And now we live stream every one of our productions. So every night there is a performance, you can see it live from wherever you are in the country, and people do. And that's one of the most gratifying things for me is now I've got people from all over the country watching these shows. We also, you can also get the link afterwards and watch it if you're not available. I'm going to be starting to post some links on my website. We want to make it accessible. I'm not in it for the money, God knows. I'm in it for, you know, I'm in it for the of course, the entertainment value, but I'm also in it to, as you said, you know, get the conservative people interested in the arts. We don't go to the theater. You know, we don't tend to do that unless it's Long Day's Journey in Tonight or My Fair Lady. So we need to get people into the theater because it is a community building endeavor.
Yeah. It sure is. And you know what, Robert? A lot of the reasons why people have stopped going to the theater and stopped is you get bombarded with lefty garbage. I went to a Broadway show about a spelling bee. This was years ago. And they just throw in this gratuitous politics so they can get a big applause.
Yeah.
You know, like if you don't hate Republicans, if you don't hate Trump, then you're just not worth even being here, kind of thing.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
We have to leave it there. Give everybody your website, and congratulations on finding your muse and your purpose among
many. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we can be found at stagert.org, just like that, stagert.org.
Thank you, Robert Cooperman. Thanks for joining us, Godspeed. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Karen. Always a pleasure.
Bye. We'll be right back with our next guest after this. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
The Reading Foundation provides evaluation and tutorial programs based upon the Orton-Gillingham philosophy of learning, based upon the study of language, how children acquire language, and the mechanisms involved in learning. All the learning pathways of the brain, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and tactile, are addressed and strengthened to build a strong foundation for the acquisition of reading skills. If you are interested in learning more, please contact the Reading Foundation for more information. The Reading Foundation is at 10 Northern Boulevard, Unit 19, Amherst, New Hampshire, 03031. Or you can email us at readingfoundation_rf@yahoo.com. And of course, you can call anytime at 603-882-0992. The Reading Foundation, Amherst, New Hampshire.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to our final segment here on Spouting Off. Always a pleasure to have you along with us. If you'd like to write me or give suggestions, our next guest loves story ideas. I'm going to talk to her about that. But if you have ideas and issues you want to talk about and you just didn't want to call in, all you got to do is write me at Karen@KarenCataline.com, and I might just write you back, doggone it. Yes, I might. I am delighted to welcome another, actually, we've had her before, reporter at the Epoch Times, who is one of our great sponsors, and she is a national investigative journalist covering politics, wrongdoing, and the stories of everyday people facing extraordinary circumstances. Beth Brelia joins us now on Spouting Off. Welcome, Beth. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Karen. Glad to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. And I alluded to the fact that you like to have people send story ideas too. Before we get to this extremely disturbing, because that's what you do, you bring these things to light. People can go to epictimes.us, and there they can find Beth, your email address, and your work, B-R-E-L-J-E-E, Brelia, right, is how you pronounce it?
That's right, yeah.
Yay. So Beth.Brelia@epictimes.us. Do you have an example of a story idea that somebody gave you that turned into a really big deal because people were using their eagle eyes to let you know that stuff was going on out there that needed investigating?
Oh, yeah. So many of our stories come to us that way through whistleblowers and people who are in places that we're not. I mean, you know, I don't have access to private companies. I can report about the government all day long through documents that I can obtain, although it's nice to hear from people in the government as well, because I'm not in every office. I don't know what to look for, right? But people who work have issues at work. For example, when the vaccine mandate came down, it was some employees at Hershey, the chocolate company, who mm-hmm. reached out and yeah. Told me about a lawsuit that they had. And they shared, like many other workers, they were suing for the right not to take the shot. And as part of their agreement, if they decided not to take the shot, they would be fired. And this is very early on. But they mm-hmm. had a non-disclosure agreement that they had to sign if they were going to get their severance. And it was a pretty uncomfortable thing for them to sign, their rights away if they were going to continue to make their bills for the next month, right? Uh-huh. So that story, I think just because of the name brand Hershey, blew up huge, and there's people who work for Hershey all across the country, and there was a boycott and all that kind of stuff. So that's one of the stories. Yeah. A lot of vaccination stuff.
Well, but, and it's so valuable and important for everyday people like you and me and listeners to keep their eyes out for those stories, because the propaganda media is not listening to us. They don't care what we think. They are telling us what we're supposed to think about practically everything. I've got a suggestion for you right now, one of many that I've thought about that I you're welcome to pass along to one of your fellow reporters, or maybe you've done work on this, I don't know. In almost every state, there are leftists and liberals playing in not only Republican primaries, but training liberals to sound like Republicans in order to get elected, mm-hmm. and then, of course, betray people. One of the funders of this, now I can't say, in detail, because the story needs investigating. That's the problem. Investigative journalism is dead, with the exception of the great work of Epic Times and some alternative sites. And that is Catherine Murdoch, the daughter-in-law of Rupert Murdoch, has put millions of dollars playing in Republican primaries in local politics around the country. You could comment on that or just pass that along as one of those stories that needs a lot more investigation than it's getting.
Well, I would think, people think investigative journalism is one big story that breaks open things and the world will change because of this one big story. But it's mm-hmm. really more like pulling a piece of thread out of a big knot, right? And you tug on it. And you see where it takes you, because you shouldn't enter a story with a preconceived idea of where it's going to go. You might have a suspicion, but you have to prove that through documentation and lots of independent interviews from people who don't know each other. And there's a journalistic process that I see not happening. When we look at the news, we really need to see, consider the sourcing. Where's this information coming from? So what you just said is really interesting. I'm not familiar with that, but through documentation, through political donations, one could draw some conclusions. And then maybe if we get some people to talk about it who are truly in the position to know. But I will tell you this. We have seen in local communities across the country what you said, an infiltration of especially left-leaning politicians. I haven't seen so much of cloaking themselves as Republicans. That's kind of new information to me. But I do see Democrats working really hard at the local level. People think, the local election isn't that important. But they're training people to rise up through the ranks. Your local auditor can become your mayor and your state representative, your state senator, your U.S. senator, your governor, the president. it all starts, you got to get some political training. You know, everybody, you know, Donald Trump didn't have political lineage, but he had enough business savvy to work in that world. But a lot of people come up through the ranks to get the party to support you. It helps if they know you. And Democrats are working the local angle so hard, and people don't come out to vote for those local elections. They really need to engage right there at home.
Yes, absolutely. And that's where you can have the most difference. I will say that with the real goal, number one, that they hide these huge donations in the names of organizations that sound really benign. You've seen that. The other thing is the goal has been, as I've seen it with experience in places like Colorado and many others, but I'm formerly from Colorado. It's my home state. And I'm watching it happen there. The Democrats have gotten involved in these primaries in order to run the most so-called moderate, but really left-leaning Republicans, and to ace out grassroots Republicans who stand on the Constitution. That's what they're trying to do, is get rid of those people and put people in who they can easily manipulate.
Yeah, easily manipulate. That's an interesting, yeah, that's very, very true. You may not be electing the person, but the person behind the person. And, you know, another thing that's interesting, it's not just our traditional political channels. It's important to recognize that a lot of these small organizations that are pushing agendas have big money behind them. In some small towns, the idea of just, politically organizing or really getting behind some environmental idea or something might have tons of money behind it through Organization A, which is funded by Organization B, which is funded by George Soros. You know, the agenda and the local elected officials a lot of times will say, well, we are leaning to the experts from, let's say you want to put in bike paths, the bike path people, which are really environmentalists, which want to shut down a bunch of land. You know, it's insidious.
Saw this in Colorado. Again, you know, we were going to talk about this very depressing story, which I will make sure that people go and read. But I'm glad we're talking about this because it goes to the heart of what's wrong with journalism today. Just to get back. So in Colorado and all over the country, Democrats love centralized power. And the people that you're talking about with all the money, with huge amounts of money that get funneled into these local races, are not from that local area. So what it does is erase local control, erase the voices of the people in that local community, because Democrats want everybody to goose step to the same ideas. Case in point, Michael Bloomberg spent millions of dollars courting representatives, local representatives, House and Senate, in Colorado to vote for an extreme gun control bill that was not even good for their own community, but they were promised lots of campaign donations to vote the way they want. Now, Colorado is pretty much all Democrat, but Michael Bloomberg has no connection in Colorado. Michael Bloomberg already said that he has no respect. He could be a farmer because all you got to do is throw a seed on the ground and water it. I mean, so these huge. I mean, how embarrassing for him, except he doesn't have the sense to be embarrassed, what disrespect he has. And that doesn't mean everybody in Colorado were farmers and ranchers. The farmers and ranchers in Colorado are getting pummeled, as they are in every city. Anyway, I just got off on a tangent there because it is so important, and you provide such a valuable service. In our last, we only have a couple minutes. I encourage everybody to read Beth Brellia at the Epoch Times. There is a story that you wrote that is very depressing. Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Grant. This year, the DHS has $20 million to dole out for programs to prevent domestic terrorism. And we all know that parents who don't like CRT or gender ideology or pornography in schools have now been labeled domestic terrorists. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and you know, the worst of the domestic terrorists are white supremacists. Whenever there's a grant, grant money available, they always have a grant application. And they'll write a, hey, this is what the grant's about, and this is why we're giving money away. And so in that explainer, it talks about white supremacy being the most lethal domestic violence threat. Mm-hmm. And so the feds are throwing $20 million at it. And they spent money last year. So we can look at what they spent last year and get a sense of what they're going to fund again this year.
Some and you're right. What did they spend on? What do they spend money on? Our money. What do they spend it on?
Right. Well, yeah, all kinds of things. There's $1 million going to a group that's going to put a band together of three white people, not necessarily guys, white people and three black people. So I guess Latin people need not apply. And they're going to travel the country for 2 years playing music. It's called the... The Black Legacy Project. And after their music project, they're going to send around a survey and ask the audience how the event impacted their empathy and understanding towards other racial divides. So that's $1 million. You know, well, can you imagine sending a Christian band to talk about the gospel of Christ, give them $1 million to tour for 2 years? Any musician would love that sweet gig, you know, if their band is struggling.
I wonder what some of those musicians, if their parents or others, relatives, are well-connected. Because a lot of times this is political payola. We only have about a minute left, but I made a note when I read this story. They use our own money to oppress us. That's what's happening. Yeah. They got an idea. They create the problem that will fund what they want to do, and then they claim it's a terrible, terrible problem. Beth Brellia, you hear that music? Oh, my God, it went fast. where can people find you? Beth Brellia, epictimes.us?
That's right. Thanks, Karen.
Yeah. Can't wait to have you back, and we'll talk more about the articles that you're putting out there. We really appreciate your time and your work.
Thank you.
Well, that does it for this edition of Spouting Off. Tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern if you're listening live, when there is always so much to spout off about here on Spouting Off.